Good to be back in the land of the brave and almost free. I see when we're in America, it's a land of the brave, and if you got the guts, it's free. Because the freedoms have been diminishing. Before I read the scripture, I'll just bring you up to date on Elaine and I's ministry in Alabama. I was so used to saying Florida, I almost said it again. But we're in a new state, and we're having a wonderful time there with a group called Pilots for Christ. Now, what we do is we fly people around America, sometimes into Canada. Did you know at one time Canada had the best heart surgeon in the world? His name was Dr. Dennis Modre. Of course, he was from Edmonton. And I got to be careful in case we have Flames fans here. Can you tell me why their flame goes out every spring? Anyway, we'll get back to this. Yeah. And my role is I'm the chaplain, and so I counsel not just couples that are taking children or whatever, but the staff. Because sometimes they'll lose a child when in flight, either going or coming, and they're devastated. They just, it's hard to handle. And so I work with them and try to help them as well. Recently, we did a big fundraiser, and it was lots of fun because many people come up to me and said, "You don't know what this means to me. My dad would be dead today if there wasn't Pilots for Christ." They flew him to Minneapolis. The day before we did the fundraiser, one of our pilots did three flights, flew a person to Texas, picked up one there, went into Kentucky, left Kentucky, went up to Minneapolis to the cancer clinic, came back to Kentucky, and then flew back to Monroeville. And last year they did over 800 flights. Now that's more than two a day. And that means we have to get another aircraft. And we also need a home in Texas, because many times when they fly there with heart patients, they have to stay overnight. And so we're gonna be doing a big drive down there. I've already got my brain working as to who I'm gonna go and see. There's a Southern Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas, that has 70,000 members. If each one would give $1,000, we'd have our new airplane. Not only that, did you see Mr. Trump's getting a new plane? I'm going to ask him for his old one. It's not going to be in use. Well, it's wonderful. Paulo is going to be speaking on the scriptures I'm going to read. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 9 to 14. By the way, this is one of the least read books of the Bible, and it's one that we need to read more often. Not only was the teacher wise, but he also imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. The words of the wise are like gold. They collected sayings like firmly embedded nails, given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Pay attention to that. Of making many books, there is no end. Of much study worries the body, wearies. Now all that has been heard, here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. God will add a blessing to the reading of this holy word.
Thank you. It's good to be back with you all here tonight. It's always a privilege for me to be sharing God's word here. And I'm thankful for your church. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your support as well. It's good to be with you. So, as I said, tonight we'll reflect in chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes, and there's so much wisdom in this book here that what Richard said surprised me there, because there are not too many people that read this book, but there's so much meanings in this word. It's so powerful. So let's jump into it. But let's start back in the first chapter of the Bible. There, at the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, which tells us how God created everything and how everything was good. On chapter 2, we read about the creation of man and woman and how they were to dominate God's creation. Everything was in place and it was perfect. God has created humans for eternity. That was the way it was supposed to be. Humans experiencing God's presence since the beginning of the creation for eternity. And that was not supposed to end. God's plans was everlasting. There was no death, no pain, oh God, no violence, no shame, no sin. But what went wrong? And you all know this, probably most of you guys know this. God gave humans a free will. He did not and does not want people to be forced to fear, love, and worship Him. With the free will and with the help of someone very slick, Adam and Eve made the wrong choice. They were lured with the desire to become like God, and they fell on the devil's trap. Things changed drastically. Man had disobeyed God. The relationship between God and His creation was broken. The problem had just begun. And we are still facing that problem today, because sin and death took its grip, its hold on humanity. Since the fall, every human being who had existed, the ones who exist now and those who will come to exist, will be looking for something to fulfill that void in their lives. Lots of people do not realize this yet, but that's exactly what they're looking for. Something to fulfill that void. They're looking for something or someone who can and will fulfill their needs for a meaningful life. I have known some people who think that if they're healthy, if their kids are succeeding in life, if they have no financial troubles and no addictions, they're good. They don't need anything else. They can enjoy life. Oh boy. How they are wrong, right? How wrong are they? Some people, in their search for a meaningful life, will look for success in a loving relationship, a successful career, a stable, well-structured family, financial independence, perhaps even in religion, illegal substances that brings immediate sense of relief and pleasure, and you name it. Because people have the need and desire to find ways to fulfill that void again, that void that they have inside. They don't even know where it comes from. They're searching desperately, but unfortunately, they're searching in the wrong place. And the Bible is the true word of God for us. And it does not embellish things to please us as we read it. It does not hide anything from us. Among lots of other things, it tells us about suffering, pain, fear, defeat, murder, war, even some atrocities. But also, it talks about love, joy, justice, peace, righteousness, restoration, forgiveness, victory. Amen? In the Bible, we have the example of Job, that's probably well known here, who despised all his faithfulness to revere and serve God, had experienced almost an unbearable suffering. It may be hard for us to find someone else that had suffered more than Job. His situation changed very quickly from it couldn't get any better because it was perfect, to it couldn't get any worse because it was terrible. It was so painful. And we read the example of David, who before being restored and called a man according God's heart, became a murderer. The Bible tells us the good and the bad, the right and the wrong, and not only that, but it also tells us how to make bad things good and the wrong things right. It does not leave us hanging. In Ecclesiastes here, we read about Solomon's experience, a man who had everything going his way. Here, we see a man who had experienced everything that life would offer under the sun. He had accumulated more wisdom, wealth, and fame than perhaps any other man in history. No man was ever more blessed by God than Solomon. Kings and queens would come to him for wise advice. Even though God had blessed him with everything a man could ever get, he was not completely happy. Despised all the money, all the power, and all the wisdom, he struggled to find a sense of meaning for his life. He carried a strong feeling that his life was futile. And we are talking here about a man who tried absolutely that this world has to offer. Wisdom, knowledge, the arts, literature, science, folly, wealth, power, prestige, great projects, building up a spotless reputation, dedicating himself into his work, yet nothing satisfied him, as he reminds us as he starts this book. Meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. Before he shared his conclusion about everything he had seen and experienced, he still reminds us once more that the struggle of people to find meaning and pleasure with the things of this world is totally meaningless. Basically, it's impossible to find. So the teacher that he refers in Ecclesiastes here is the master teacher who takes ample time to discern the best way to communicate God's truth. The job of communicating truth is a fresh way without diminishing its exact nature is quite a challenge for everyone. On one hand, we have people who, instead of exposing and communicating what the Bible says, it becomes the interpreter's opinion accommodating God's word according to their needs. Basically, they hear what they want and they interpret the way that they want and the way that they feel comfort with it. So have you seen that? People taking the Bible out of context? On the other side, we find those with an understandable desire to preserve the Holy Scripture. And they fail to bridge the context of the ancient world with the modern world. As a result, they wonder how they can apply God's word to the world which they live. As the Bible strikes them as antiquated and impractical. What we need to be reminded is that the Word of God was alive back then, and it's still alive today. It revealed the truth back then, and it still reveals the truth today. God does not need to change His world to accommodate the changes of this falling world. His plan is perfect. It always has been. The words in this precious book are alive, active, and true. Words do things. Words change things. Words create things. That's how God did it. Words give birth to emotions. Words can hurt. Words can heal. Words can destroy, but also words can restore. It was through the power of His word that God spoke and everything was created. God has spoken then and He still speaks now. Mostly, God, I believe, speaks through the Bible, so our lives are transformed as we read from it. I would say that's why God didn't reveal Himself to us in a picture book. Or He didn't send Jesus Christ to enter this world at a time when He could be recorded and put on YouTube, on the internet, so everyone could see. Because it would be easier, right? But we still would need words to interpret those images to us. And those words from Him, about Him, we find in the Holy Scriptures, in the Bible. In these verses, the preacher provides a mini commentary of his book. These verses explains, the verses that we read, explain how and why the wise preacher did what he did with words. He observed, he studied people's lives and situations. He finished by telling us that these three observations, that he made are supposed to bring us three things. First, pleasure. The teacher searched to find just the right words which bring delight to us, which bring pleasure to the reader. God is not a joy killer or a grumpy old man in how He wants us to relate to Him. No. By listening to God's word of delight and finding them pleasurable, we will remember and know Him as our Creator. Do you know of someone who often mocks the Bible? For them, the Bible is an antiquated book, out of date, boring, irrelevant, and it belongs in the Victorian era. Would you be surprised to find out that their lives are a mess? I wouldn't. Without the Bible's truth, people also lack true beauty in their lives. Without the Bible's conception of delight, they have to construct their own pleasure, and that will always be driven by a selfish motivation that will constantly narrow in around themselves. So, what do you do? What we do? As we need to minister to them? Well, my suggestion is that you just keep faithfully ministering to them. Don't let them bring you down with their hurtful words. Prayerfully, one day, God will challenge them and they will realize that they need to surrender their lives to Him. One day, they maybe experience the pleasure that only God can give them. That's why we need to keep praying for them. So, but these words also bring us pain. Goats were employed by herd drivers in the ancient times to keep animals under control on a straight path. The goats that the preacher mentions on verse 11 are used in two ways. It spurs us on to live according to what God's words declares. It is the best thing for us. To fight against the law of God is painful and fruitless, as it was for the animals to fight against the goats. It would hurt them. And if we keep fighting because we think we can live without it, it will hurt us as well. The Apostle Paul learned the hard way how futile it is to kick against the goats. When Jesus called Paul, he said, "Why are you persecuting me, Paul? It is useless for you to fight against my will. If you want to fear, obey, love, and walk with God all your days, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you will experience some pain." And I know that by then some of you have already experienced that. And it may be hard and painful, a painful learning process, but you find out that it's so worth it. Second, the Word of God produces stability. As the teacher tells us about the goats that would hurt the animals, first, the second thing it produces is stability. Those who consistently yield to God's word do not find themselves like those who are constantly being tossed back and forth by the waves and be blown here and there, everywhere. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with clever lies that sound like truth. Have you seen? Have you heard those that you go, "Oh, that sounds good," right? But when you go deep and you read the word and you understand, the Spirit will reveal it to you. So that's why we need to be attached and connected to this word. So we must always read your Bible to experience its powerful words in our lives. Make it alive in our lives. The third observation that the teacher or Solomon brings us. First, to remind you of pleasure. Second was pain. And the third one, it gives us perspective to understand where we are in our lives, to understand what we really need. Some words of the Bible will grab our total attention. Some words will stop us in our tracks, cause us to turn around and make some adjustments to correct it. In chapter 4, verse 2, he says, "And I declare that the dead who had already died are happier than the living who are still alive." Those are sharp words. As farm animals need a sheepdog, we also need a shepherd who can guide us so we continue to go on the right path. We will know that we are doing it right when sometimes the word of God makes us weep as he humbles our pride, as he reverses our expectations, upsets our priorities, offends our behavior, and also challenges our thinking. Why should we delight in the Bible and allow it to wound us like this? Because that's what will help us to find meaning for our lives. So, how can we answer the question, perhaps, what's the meaning of life? Here is the preacher's or the teacher's conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind, no exception. Absolutely no exception. So the preacher here finishes the book by giving us three application points. Fear God, obey Him, and live in light of God's impending judgment. Why fear God? Proverbs 9:10, it's a well-known verse. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We are not talking here about fearing God as a healthy respect for Him. By fearing God, we understand our need to completely trust and surrender our lives to Him, to love Him with all who we are, all that we have knowing, and that He has always the best for us. He always has the best in store for us. And as we seek Him, as we are aligned to His will, as we fear Him, He will allow us to experience those. Second thing is obey Him. Obedience to the Lord assumes acquaintance with the revealed will of God. It's impossible to obey God if we are unfamiliar with what the Scripture says. Obey Him, keep His commandments. Obedience to God is not a burdensome. It's a joy. Even when God corrects us, even when it hurts, that can turn into joy because we know that we are doing what God has asked us to do. Living in the life of God's impending judgment. Don't let all the injustice and unrighteousness you see in this fallen world keeping you away from God. As we read in verse 14, for God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Here is the conclusion of the matter. It is impossible for anyone to find lasting happiness in any pursuit apart from God. Solomon has destroyed the possibility for someone even try to argue that a meaningful life can be achieved without God. It simply cannot be done. And some of us, perhaps I could even say most of us, after we leave this place tonight, will we spend the rest of the week chasing or doing something we think will make us happy, will bring us some joy. I hope that's not the case. I hope that we will reconsider that. Solomon made that mistake. Thank God he did, because he left us the example. He left it crystal clear, a crystal clear message for us. Apart from God, life has no meaning. So stop looking, whatever you're looking, if you're not looking for God, you need to look at Him, look at His word here. So, one thing God will never do is to force you and me to have a relationship with Him, to force us to fear Him and obey His commandments. But He will make it impossible for us to find happiness and joy unless we do that. God made it impossible for us to find meaning in any earthly pursuit apart from Him, because if we could, we would. And if we would, then we would not fear Him. And unfortunately, that's what happened with this lost world out there. That's why we need to faithfully preach the word, share the gospel of salvation, Jesus Christ, if we fear God and keep His commandments, let's finish with this, and we will understand His love for us. We will understand why God has sent His own and only Son to die on the cross for us. Through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, God restores our lives so we can start to experience what He had planned there in Genesis 1, what I told you at the beginning. To experience a glorious, sinless place where we experience God's presence for eternity, and that place is called heaven. And that through Jesus Christ is the only way that we can get there one day. So God is inviting you, is opening the door for you tonight. Maybe you have not made that commitment yet. So God is extending His hand and saying, I love you and I gave my Son for you to restore your relationship with me. I want to have a personal relationship with you. And that's the only way we can get ready to Jesus Christ in order to experience that amazing place that again, it will be like the beginning. There will be no pain, no sorrow, no grief, no death. Right? We will live forever with Him. So what's stopping you from accepting Christ's invitation? So let's pray. Father God, we thank You that Your Word is alive and well today, Father God, and sharp to speak to men and women, to change lives, to give them the real meaning of life in Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank You for Your amazing plan to restore the broken humanity, Father God, so we can experience Your presence. Father, You are such a loving God. We don't deserve it, and You give us. We don't deserve it, and yet You offer us, Father, for the best experience that we can have one day. Lord, I pray that if someone listen to this message today, doesn't know You and they don't know what to do, Lord, that they will recognize that they are sinners, that they were out in this world, Father God, worshiping things of this world and seeking for things of this world. And they will realize that they need to seek for Your presence, to seek Jesus Christ, to surrender their lives to Him, to recognize, Lord, that Jesus Christ is the one that can bring them salvation and restoration in their lives. So, Father, we pray that Your Word, Father God, will be out there, alive, bringing people to get to know You, Father, to understand the meaning that You can give to their lives. Father God, the way that void that they have inside them, it's the size of a void that only Jesus Christ can fill. Father, we give this message to You, these words to You, Lord, and we ask that Your Holy Spirit will make them alive in our lives. In Christ's name we pray and thank You, Lord. Amen.